We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 here in just a minute. Thank you for coming back this evening in a tremendous not accident or coincidence. I opened up the hymn book to 656, and I was going to start with that tonight. And then Emily said 656. Because it fits so perfectly. And in fact, the verse that we skipped, verse number 2, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Now that sounds a lot like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, doesn't it? Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. We sang verse 3, and I was just going to ask you, when he says, one little word shall fail him. What's the word? Jesus. Yep. Jesus. At the name of Jesus. The word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. And there's the mention of the spirit. Paul told us today, praying in the spirit. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Amen. Amen. Hey, how many of you are totally confused now when you go to Kroger's and they've rearranged the whole store? Can we vent? I've wasted a lot of time in that store these last few weeks, and it moved again on me this week. It was so sad. The little lady came up to me, and she saw that I was lost. I couldn't find what I was looking for. She said, honey, I'm going to ask, but I don't think I can help you. What are you looking for? I said, thanks for the confidence. Oh, goodness. Well, we are talking about spiritual warfare, and I want to be as helpful and practical to you as you think about this subject, because it's very real and it's very relevant to where we are in the world in which we live. And so what is biblically a way that we can fight back? What is one of the ways that we can engage the enemy? And there's a verse that's tucked away in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that I think helps bring to light one of the ways that we can wage warfare against the enemy. Remember, he's given us this helmet to protect our thinking, to protect us in our thought life. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. And the flesh here doesn't refer to our old nature or our carnal nature. The flesh here refers to humanity. And so read it that way. For the weapons of our warfare are not of a human origin, okay, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. You go back to Ephesians, and it talks in chapter 4 about giving Satan opportunity, about giving Satan a foothold. We looked at that this morning. And so the power of God, the divine power of God, is purposed to destroy or to tear down or to bring down these strongholds. Verse 5 expands on that and it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against. There's that word against. It was 6 times there in our passage this morning. And here it is again. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And so that's a clear reference, is it not, back to Genesis chapter 3. that there was a knowledge of God, a knowledge of his will, a knowledge of eating from the tree of good and evil. And what happened was that Satan corrupted the knowledge of God by offering to Adam and Eve an alternative version that deceived them. And so we're supposed to stand for the knowledge of God, and we are to take every thought captive to obey Christ, okay? And that's what I want to focus on just for a few minutes tonight. Take every thought captive. And some of your translations may say, and make it obedient to Christ. So take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. To make it obey Christ. So think about the first phrase, take captive. What does that mean? Well, in my mind, it means that something's running loose. Something's running crazy. Something is out of control. Something is definitely afoot with our thinking. And so it's this picture, and I've always used the fisherman setting the hook and reeling it in, taking it captive, right? Pulling it back and making it obedient to Christ. So I think the first idea or principle that is kind of behind this passage and technique is that the mind is the gateway to the heart. Amen. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The mind is the gateway to the heart. And whatever captures your heart will drive your will. That's critically important for understanding how to change spiritually and transformation. If it doesn't start here, it doesn't get to here. And if it doesn't get to here, it doesn't get into our will and our purpose. And so it's very important to understand that that mind is the gateway. That mind is the clearinghouse. And so what he says here is that our minds need to be actively filtered. That there needs to be a framework or a grid through which we process our thinking. I think the idea here is that whatever is not captive is running wild, is untamed, is on the loose, and must be caught. And I think that's the imagery that Paul says. He says, when you take every thought captive, you are filtering your thoughts through a biblical worldview, through a biblical framework. I love to use a grid like Philippians 4:8, where Paul says, whatever's lovely, whatever's true, whatever's admirable, whatever's beautiful. And he lists out that list. He says, think about these things. Filter things through that kind of thinking. So the thoughts that become affections in the heart must be evaluated. And the way you evaluate that is you take it captive, okay? So you take it captive in the sense that you say, stop, wait a minute. Where did that thought come from? Where did that idea come from? Maybe you're preaching to yourself and you're saying to yourself, whoa, no, 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 no. We are not going down that path. We are not going down that possibility, opportunity, right? So there's this idea of taking it captive. Think about it as an intruder. An intruder. As you're scrutinizing your thoughts and you're scrutinizing your feelings, suddenly you have an interloper. You have an intruder. And you say to yourself, well, wait a minute, time out, where did that come from? Wait a minute, that's out of left field, right? How did that get there? And so you begin to stop and you begin to take hold of that thought and bring it captive and make it obedient to Christ. So think about that word, obey. If the thought that you're having is disobedience, then to capture it, and then to think of it in the alternate of disobedience, which would be what? Or the opposite of disobedience would be what? Obedience. So here is the thought in its disobedient state. And now I'm called upon by this passage of Scripture to say, hey, wait, I need to make that obedient to Christ. What would that look like if I was actually being obedient in that subject and in that topic? So take it captive and make it obedient to Christ? What would obedience to Christ in this area of my life look like if I was thinking that way? So let me just give you the three steps really quick. Capture it, expose it, and replace it with the truth. Amen. Very simple. And again, this is just a strategy for us to add as we fight back against the enemy. We capture it, okay? We don't let it linger. We don't let it run wild. We don't let it stew, right? We don't let it simmer like we're in a crock pot, and we just let that thought marinate over and over and over again. So, you know, one day you're sitting around the house and you just watched a Law and Order episode or whatever, and there was a bank robbery, and you say to yourself, man, I wonder what it would be like to rob a bank. You know, I've watched enough. I think I know how to get away. I can get away with it. I know how to do it. I've seen some pretty slick bank robberies. And all of a sudden, we're laughing because we find that absurd. But I can tell you, I've had people in my office, marriage in shambles. And the husband will say that it all started with this thought: I wonder what it would be like to sleep with that lady. Begins right here. That's where it begins. A thought like that comes into your mind and you have to capture it. You can't let that run wild. And so you just move on and go do something else and kind of file it away, and then it pops up again. It comes up the next day. It comes up the next week. It comes up the next month. Okay? You have to discipline your mind that when that thought comes, it's not just a matter of pushing it out of the way, but it's replacing it with truth and exposing it for the lie that it is. So capturing it is critically important, not to let it run wild. When we come to our senses, when God convicts us and God brings us to our knees in brokenness, the response to God is oftentimes, I did not know what I was thinking. In fact, I stopped thinking and I went completely by my feelings. So capturing it is important, recognizing it. Do you recognize your own sinful patterns of thinking? Do you recognize when those are going to come? When you find yourself in another city, in a hotel room, by yourself, do you recognize the enemy is prepared and ready to pounce on you mentally? Amen. So you have to recognize it. You have to know when it's going to come. You know when it comes for me right here? When I'm tired. When I'm tired, you know what I need to do? Tony, I need to go to bed. That's what I need to do. I need to quit thinking about it. I need to shut it down. And when I get weary and I get tired, then man, the enemy is like, now I've got you, you're vulnerable. Now you've let your guard down. And so you've got to know your tendencies that will help you to capture it. After a great disappointment, or after a great success, Satan can do what? Begin to toy and to work with you. All right, expose it. So number one was capture it. Number two is expose it. Hold it up to Christ and hold it up to the gospel. Look at it through the lens of the cross. Expose it for what it is. It's a lie. It's a deception. Okay? And so, as that thought comes into your mind, and we're gonna work on an example, a couple examples here in a minute. All sin lies. Amen. Sin will always promise you more than it can deliver. Right. And it will entice, and it will tempt, and it will deceive, and it will lie, and it will tell you that it's not going to hurt anybody, it's not going to cost anything. All of that is a lie. All right, and then replacing it with the truth. You capture it, you reel it in, you expose it for what it is, but then you have to replace it with something, right? I mean, when Jesus talked about over in Luke's gospel, I don't have the chapter right off the top of my head, but he talks about coming into the household and expelling the demons. And what happened in that house? They didn't do anything differently. They didn't change anything. And what did the demons do? They came right back. So nothing's changed. We'll just take up residence again. And that's what we want to avoid. We want to, when that thought comes back into our heads, for it to bump square into the truth that we planted in our minds. Okay? Biblically. All right, so let's do an example. Ben works for Chick-fil-A over in Alcoa. And he works the breakfast shift, and it can get really busy. And the one thing I know from talking to him is for the people who come in and order the nugget trays with no advanced warning. If that's you, put your hand up. He's going to throw a rock at you. What that does in the back of the house, in the kitchen, creates chaos because they're trying to keep up with all the other orders that are coming in, and now all of a sudden they have special orders that are coming in. And Ben senses in his mind and in his heart outrage, anger. Maybe he even starts to complain under his breath, right? I can't believe this. I can't. This job is, you know, here we go. Starts that, okay? If you're applying 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, you have to at that moment what? You have to recognize, hey, I'm getting in a bad attitude about this. I'm having some bad thoughts come into my mind. I need to capture that, and I need to expose it for what it is, right? It's grumbling. It's complaining. It's murmuring. It's saying to God, God, I'm not grateful for what you provided in the way of a job, in way of employment, right? And so you replace that with the truth. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Here's a great verse if that's one of the areas you struggle in. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. That's as applicable at Chick-fil-A as it is right here in the church. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. The exposure in that situation is there's discontent in the heart. Right? There's dissatisfaction in the heart. Something didn't go your way, and now you're going to pout about it. Right? And so what do? You say, look, I'm capturing that. My contentedness, my joy is in Christ and not in my circumstances. I may not enjoy at that moment what I'm doing, but I don't need to complain about it and argue about it. And I'm not saying Ben does that. I'm just using that as an example. See, I left you off the hook right there. How about anger? James chapter 1. If you have issues with anger, you know what sets you off. You become aware of your triggers. And so you have to be dialed into that attitudinal and way of thinking. You have to be aware of that. I'm getting angry. I need to back away, okay? And so that may just trigger you. You may see something And suddenly, man, it just makes you boil with anger, red hot anger, okay? And you just have to stop and you just have to say, wait a minute, I need to take this thought captive that's making me boil with this anger and this rage, and I need to expose that for what it is. What is ultimately anger? Selfishness, a lack of love. Right? All of that rooted primarily in pride. So it seems to always come back to the sin of pride that's making you angry. In other words, when you don't get what you desire, then you demand it. And when you demand it, you get conflict. And so it kind of ties into this morning to conflict. And so that's where you have to look inside yourself and say, hey, exposing this anger. Why am I having this anger? Why are these anger issues in my life? Could it be that I am selfish? Could it be that I am self-absorbed and self-focused, and anything that impinges upon my schedule or my routine or my day just sets me off in a terrible trajectory? So look at James chapter 1, James 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. How do you retrain your brain? How do you recalibrate your heart around James 1, 19 through 20? You memorize that passage of Scripture. That's what we're talking about. You memorize it. You meditate on it. You let that become your response to anger rising up in you, that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. God, this is not righteous. This is not what you want from me. So God, would you uproot this anger? So it's recognizing those thoughts, taking them captive, exposing them for what they are, my selfishness, my greed, my whatever, and then putting in your mind this kind of scripture. Let's talk for a minute as another example of 1 Thessalonians. If you struggle with sexual sin, if you struggle with lust, you find great help in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And again, this is a verse that you may need to write down on a note card and put it in your pocket, put it on the refrigerator, put it, well, don't cover the speedometer up, but put it down on the dashboard, just anywhere that you can visually keep that in front of you, because this is how we expel wrong, lustful thinking. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God just as you were doing, that you do some more and more. For you know the instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. And here's what I would hammer down. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Okay? Pornography does not aid me in my sanctification. It poisons me. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. God setting us apart, sanctifying us, making us holy and righteous in a practical holiness and a practical righteousness that stems from our gospel righteousness and gospel holiness. That you abstain from sexual immorality. It goes further. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. That's what I've got to think about. That's what I've got to dwell on. That's what I have to get down into my DNA. Amen. Not in the passionate lust, like the Gentiles, listen to this, who do not know God. When I am lusting, right, what am I doing? I am acting like someone who doesn't even know God. And the lie and the deception of lust and pornography is saying to you and I, here's your identity, it's in your own self-pleasure. No, my identity is in Jesus Christ, and my identity is secure in His sanctification. Amen. So you fight back. Let me just ask you, do you ever get mad at sin? Do you ever give it a good cussing when you're alone? And just say, sin, I am mad as hell at you right now. You know, just getting mad at sin. Does it get you up out of your chair and make you angry to the point where you bring that to God and you wrestle it down And you say, this is not going to continue. This is not going to happen. This is not going to be a way of life for me. Kenny mentioned it in Sunday school. He called it markers. My life is not going to be marked by this kind of lifestyle. My life is going to be marked all over with Jesus. And so you have to have a little bit of an intensity. Sometimes the complacency with which we talk about sin, and it's like we're counselors and psychologists, and we're just going to manage it. You don't find that language in Scripture. God doesn't want you to manage your sin. He wants to uproot and kill your sin. Amen. John Owen said it best, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. Treat sin the way sin will treat you. Sin is ruthless with you, brutal with you. And you've got to be ruthless and brutal back. Matthew 5:28, another great verse for us in this battle. This is one of those verses that is so sharp and so true that it just completely closes the door on going down this pathway. You heard that it was said to you, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus said, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. That's radical. Why? For it's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. That's getting angry at sin. I want to share one more thing, then I'll close this down. One of the verses that helps with this fight is over in James chapter 4. We've been talking about resisting the enemy. And let's see here. It's verse number 7. We talked a great deal about resisting the devil and he will flee for you. But notice how there's something on the front of verse 7 that we haven't picked up in other places. And again, we're just building on this idea of resistance. So verse 7 says this. I'm in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submission, okay? Submission implies that there is an authority over us, correct? That's what submission implies. So when you submit yourselves, therefore, to God, you are coming under His lordship. You are coming under His authority, okay? That says something to the enemy. It says, I'm not available. I'm already spoken for. Amen. I belong to Christ. I'm under His authority. And furthermore, I'm under His protection. All right, so I want you to grasp that. We grant authority to whomever we trust. And the devil has no authority over any Christian except the authority that we grant him when we believe his lies. That's the foothold. That's the opportunity. Okay, I want to say that again. The devil has no right or authority over us unless we give him authority over part of us. So the more we believe him instead of resisting him, the more he gets a foothold in us. And it's only by submitting to God's authority that demons are intimidated and they flee. Remember James chapter 2, verse 19. Even the demons believe there is a God, and what do? They shudder in fear. They need to see our trusting in and obeying and enjoyment of God. So submitting to God means I'm trusting in your authority. You're not submitting to any kind of demonic influence, any kind of devil influence or satanic influence. That's not who we submit to. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and you'll be able to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So it begins with that humble submission, coming under his authority, and then being able to resist and stand in the evil day. Well, I hope it's been helpful. I hope you can take that model and you can push it through other things that you struggle with, other things that you're fighting, other battles that are happening. It really is capture it, expose it, and then replace it with the truth. Father, thank you for giving us weapons that are not of this world, that are not of human origin, but are divine, that are empowered, that are sanctified by you. And Father, I really do believe that if we're going to win the war against sin, if we're going to fight well, we've got to think well. We really do have to be disciplined in our minds. It does come back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so, Lord, as we go into this week, help us to go in on alert. Help us to go into it with a readiness, Father, that we're going to be vigilant, that we're going to watch. And when we see thoughts that don't belong, that are invading our sanctified minds, that we stop and we take those captive. We expose them for the sin and the deception that they are, and then we fill our minds with the truth. Father, if we have to pull the car over while we're driving and handle something, Lord, give us the faith and the determination to do it. If we have to stop in the middle of our school day, if we have to pause in the middle of our work day, if we have to take a walk outside and practice this spiritual discipline, then God, give us the courage to do it. I pray this and pray God's richest blessing on this body of faith, these wonderful believers. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.